This is the Thursday morning show on KEXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Earlier, we talked with the Secretary of State of Minnesota, Steve Simon, and that came out of last Thursday's event at Itasca Community College. It was Navigating Information in a Post-Truth Era. And Bart, you were there. I was there. It was a great event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really impressive. It was the faculty from our Associate of Arts program led by Therese Alto really set up the day. And I knew the agenda. I knew who was coming. But I had to admit, I was really kind of blown away with the quality of speakers we had, the number of speakers, and the number of community members, students, and employees that attended these sessions. I walked away with truly a lot of knowledge gained about what's happening in our world today, and especially how to consume news.
Yeah.
It really caused me to think about what I read, what I listen to, and be a little bit more critical consumer of information that comes across, at least my plate in life.
That's Bart Johnson. He's the provost at Itasca Community College, and he's in our studios with us this morning. We're talking about some of the big issues in education. Where would you like to start? You mentioned the Itasca Area Schools Collaborative and how kids can kind of get excited about careers at a younger age, what they might be going into.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if all the listeners are aware of this, but in the greater Itasca County areas, there is the Itasca Area Schools Collaborative, known by the acronym of IASC, and it is a joint powers agreement between the 7 area school districts and Itasca Community College. It's probably the only one in the nation that has both the K-12 districts and a higher education institution having a joint powers agreement. It's got some history of how it developed, and it's about a couple decades old, but really what the focus of that group right now is on what are we doing to increase the educational opportunities for students in the rural districts of the greater Itasca County area. And so we're talking to communities of Deer River, Northland Reamer, Hill City, Floodwood, Nashua, Keewatin, Greenway, and of course Grand Rapids and Big Fork communities with that.
Because when you want kids in high school, you want them to start getting excited about maybe doing something with the rest of their life. And oftentimes, I don't think they are. And so what you're talking about here is maybe some experiential learning, or how does that all work?
Yeah, I mean, well, first I got to say, I think the high schools, when you're looking at the core courses that they need, if you're looking at in English and math and science, our area high schools do a quality job with that experience. But it is about trying to think about what I want to do next with my career. And there's certainly a lot of high school students that have had experiences and know what they want to do. But really trying to make sure that every student has access to exploring a career field, learning a little bit more experiential, what it's like getting some experiences. And, I'd use the example, like for myself, my background's in mechanical engineering. And the reason I went into that was when I was in high school, I took a class that was building a high mileage car, and Dan Bredemus was the instructor for that. And, you know, I had a whole variety of reasons why I wanted to do it. I just thought it was kind of cool to work on. Instead of a regular class, I got to work on building this car. And somewhere during that process, it kind of dawned on me, you know, it would be kind of neat to get a job where this is what you did every day. And that's where I kind of, it wasn't until my senior year, I really started thinking about the field of engineering and the opportunities that would have for a career path, because I didn't know an engineer. I didn't have a relative. I didn't really know anybody that was an engineer. But it was that experience in high school that caused me to think about going into engineering.
And, you know, as far as getting an experiential experience or something, like the class act, for example, if you want to maybe be a teacher, and it can go the other way, too. You can be put in a setting where you have 38-year-olds, and you think, oh, my gosh, I can't imagine going to work and doing this every day. So it can be successful the other way as well.
Oh, it certainly can. And so some of the areas that we're looking at, and really this is going beyond the courses, trying to provide experience where students can kind of really start to explore a career, what it's like to be a professional or a worker in that career field, and really kind of get that identity developed. And if you use teaching as an example, we just this year, the IASC group got a $51,000 grant from the Minnesota Department of Education to start to develop and pilot experiences in the junior and senior year of high school for students to start. They're not really doing student teaching, but taking a course on introduction to teaching, and then, you know, going down to some of their lower grade levels and working with a teacher to do some activities in the classroom with students. And starting to understand, you know, you can be, and that was true for me. I mean, I grew up in a family of educators, and I went to, you know, being a, you know, was around teachers every day, but you really don't know what it's like to be a teacher, to be on that other side, and get them a chance to feel what that's like. It might be that they really like it, and it might be, boy, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, yeah. And at least right now, that's not what I want to do.
So what are some hot fields? What are some new curriculums that you got going on?
Well, certainly the K-12 teacher pathway is one we're really excited about. We've got the grant for it, but the other exciting thing about that, too, is that we are also, there's a native student focus with that. If you go to Deer River High School, approximately half the students are of native descent. Yet, you know, if Superintendent Matt Gross were here, he'd say, you know, you can about count on your hands the number of Native employees, especially when you start talking about teachers. And they've got some great ones, but they need more Native teachers, and that's going to be one of the focuses with this. So excited about that. The other thing is, you know, talking with a lot of our local employers, especially in the medical field, we've got a lot of good-paying jobs in the medical field in the Itasca County area, and those employers consistently struggle to get and retain good employees. And yet we hear from high school students sometimes there's no jobs, good jobs in the area, so we've got to go somewhere to college or for some training or go work somewhere, but don't really envision being able to come back. So the healthcare field's one where we hope to do some more things there, so not only do students get that experience, but build a little bit of that professional network so they can envision how they could come and work here again sometime in the Itasca County area after high school.
And that's lots of different jobs in the medical field, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm the wrong person to ask. But, I mean, you go from nursing assistant, you know, just think of all the nursing and general practitioners up to specialists and surgeons within the medical field. But, you know, that's just the kind of the practitioners that clients or patients interact with. But you've also got things that are happening on the business side. You've got the transcription activities. I mean, I don't even pretend to understand health insurance, but, you know, somebody within those facilities needs to understand and how to navigate those systems. So there's such a wide variety of careers that if people around, you know, a teenager don't understand those career opportunities, how can they ever have had an exposure to what's available and out there to them if they don't get a chance to experience it?
Yeah, Bart, you were actively involved in the engineering program out there, and you were always working on trying to get women, young ladies, to be enrolled in the program. What kind of progress are you making on that?
Well, I'll be honest, not as much as we'd like to.
Yeah, right, that's what I've heard.
But we still have pretty good representation, get up into about the mid-teens percentage-wise with young women looking at going into the STEM fields. Our work with Iron Range Engineering with the four-year program, where Itasca is partnered with Minnesota State University Mankato, that's actually in the low 20%. We've had really good success there, relatively, and that's comparative nationally. I mean, if you can get above 20% women into the field of engineering, that's kind of the bar that places are trying to reach, and there we're getting that. But you know, the only way that happens is by spending time with high school students, and especially when we were looking at more female students looking at engineering, you had to spend time giving them the opportunity to experience what the field was like. Otherwise, they're just stuck with their stereotypes or what so-and-so has told them what the career's like. And I'll be honest, often that's not completely accurate.
Right.
Yeah, what does engineering mean? What kind of jobs? Because that's a big kind of broad term, isn't it?
Yeah, so I have three degrees in engineering, and I'd even tell you it's kind of, how do you answer that? But I mean, if you get down to it, I mean, really what it is it's using science, math, and technology to solve society's problems. And so wherever you're at, whether you're talking about civil things, I mean, of course, this is the time of the year where potholes start showing up. You talk about civil engineers and roads. How do you build better roads, transportation systems, communication systems? Going back to the medical field, how is the technology and devices that are used and designed and manufactured in the medical field to meet patient needs? There's literally anything that we interface, use, touch, experience as a human being. Engineers are involved with the development and design and production of that in some form or fashion.
So you said you were turned on by the mileage car.
Yep.
So is IS doing anything to get girls interested in engineering that could be experiential or whatever when they're in high school?
I think there are experiences there. I don't want to say we haven't made a major focus on engineering, but we've got a pretty strong history with within IASC and ICC where students come out to the college and for engineering day, there are some engineering camps. There's a lot of work being done with EPICS, which is another acronym, but and engineering projects in community service, if I got that acronym correctly. And what that is focused on is we talk about meeting society needs. So getting more experiences in the high school, and that's not just IASC, but it's actually working with 22 high schools across the Arrowhead region are involved with this. We're trying to get students working on projects in the high school setting that are really about meeting a community need, not just building a robot or a high mileage car, because I'll admit that tends to be a little bit more male-centric in the interest. But there are a lot of things between, if you look at like the solar panels that are out here, you look at other community projects with renewable energy, with medical issues and stuff that can have a tendency to be a bit more both female and male interest. That EPICS program is being developed and just this last year, and really trying to get that kind of engineering experiences in the high school that really is focused on all of society's needs, but especially the social and societal issues.
So let's talk about community college a little bit, the huge role they play for a lot of people. It's cost effective. You get a great education. You can stay home. You can save a little bit of money. How is enrollment going at community colleges? I know it goes up and down, but how are we doing?
It goes up and down. Right. And you're a nonprofit business that's in the business of, in my mind, of transforming people's lives through education, but it goes through cycles. ICC, if you go back to 2011, was kind of the high water mark across the nation and the state of Minnesota. Our enrollment's down from that peak period, but we've seen relative stability over the last couple of years. We've done quite a bit more activities to try and reach high school students in the area, but really across the region, and looking at what we can do to meet more community needs. So we've seen some relative stability. It's been through a lot of hard work the last few years, but across the state and the region, there's been several years of decline. And, mm-hmm. This year, the Minnesota state system that Itasca's Community College is part of, they're seeing about a 2.5% decline in enrollment, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's about the fifth year that the system has seen, that 2 to 2.5% decline. So that's added up across the state of Minnesota.
So the reason being, are people going to four-year schools right away, not going to school?
Well, I'm hitting you
with some tough ones here.
Well, if I knew all the answers to that.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't have any 2% decline. But yeah. What are your thoughts on the reasons for that?
Well, I think there's a few things. First of all, we're not in historically high unemployment like the state was back in 2011. We're enjoying, relatively, it's not true for every person, but relatively healthy employment. So that kind of takes away the default of going to college. I think people are being more critical that, it used to be that especially a four-year degree was like the golden ticket to a middle-class job. If you went to college, you got a four-year degree, you did the things you're supposed to do, you could get a good, decent middle-class job. And not that still isn't there, but it's not a given that that's true. And I think so that's caused people to be a little bit more critical consumers, making sure before I go on to college that what I do is going to be something that's going to be, help me to better my opportunities in life. They're not just going to do it because that's what they've been right. told to do. They're going to make sure they're doing it. And that's where this career pathway work comes in as important too, because if they know it's something they want to do, they're willing to make that time and financial investment. And then the other thing too is just I think there's always a variety of issues that cause people to think about whether they're going to college or not. We also see it used to be that the bricks and mortar institutions were the only game in town. Now you see more online offerings. So community colleges are about accessibility, and that was by physically being in communities. Mm-hmm. But now accessibility sometimes comes through online offerings. Certainly if you watch TV or read the news, there's the ads for several nationwide institutions that offer programming, and it's accessible through the internet. So that takes away from a little bit of what, the bricks and mortar settings, some of the need that they provided in the past.
I mentioned at the beginning this conference last week, because I haven't been at ICC in a while or been there during the day when students are around, I was really impressed with the questions that students were asking in these talks about media and information. And, you know, it was great. They seemed very engaged.
Yeah, I sometimes get people commenting, you know, I always hear these things about this generation or that generation. Yeah. And in fact, I was meeting with Mark Schroeder, the principal at Grand Rapids High School this morning for breakfast. And we were even just kind of, I had him for a physics teacher in high school. So we're just kind of laughing. He's saying how many people he walks around and sees now that were his students before. So there's always this tendency of time moves on and, you know, and people talk about, and Mark was talking positively about the students, by the way. But just talking, you know, you got thinking about that comparative, you know, people always kind of look at the next generation coming. And a lot of times, well, this generation doesn't do this or this or that. I got to admit, with the generation coming up, I'm pretty excited because I see that they are, as a whole, I think deeper thinkers than when I graduated from high school and started college. They really are. They're growing up in a more complex world. They've got way more information than existed, you know, when I graduated from high school. And I was really, you know, it was really pleased to hear the depth of their questions and real questions about really trying to understand with so much information, misinformation coming to us every day, their ability to start thinking through and even asking the speakers some challenging mm-hmm. questions. Because they didn't say, just because you're so-and-so, we're going to believe every word you said. Even you had the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, on the air, and he had some students asking him questions. Mm-hmm. They weren't willing, just because he said something, they weren't willing to believe that was the truth. They're going to ask some of their questions to verify that truth in their mind. And I think that's a great thing.
Here's the deal with kids. I've been around them long enough at the college level, is that they are smart, they are resilient, they are strong, they do care, but many of them don't communicate because they're afraid to communicate. And I always talk to my basketball players about, you know, they always, every year it comes up, oh my God, I hate that class, and it's public speaking or it's speech. That is probably the most important class you can take, is to be able to have the ability to talk and yep. want to talk. And many of them don't, like I've been a guest speaker in classes and they'll just sit there and, you know, they got questions, but they won't ask them because they're kind of afraid to talk. So I don't know why I'm getting on this rant, but it's like they do care. They have great questions, but oftentimes they're afraid to speak in public.
I think that only comes through practice.
It does.
If you know, when I was coming out of high school and going into college and playing football and going to school, my goal would have been to be a man of few words. If yep. I didn't have to say anything, that was perfect. If I had to say a few things, well, that was okay. If I had to talk a lot, I'd probably find something else to do and found out that life doesn't work that way. And I wouldn't have been effective in the classroom or in public speaking or even being on the air here except for through practice.
Yeah.
And so I think those, you know, any parent out there or any student should really encourage all students the idea of getting out and just practicing speaking, communicating. I mean, certainly the ability to text is important. I do it all the time. I mean, it's I use it for communication, social media. I mean, those are means of communicating, but also making sure practicing, you know, the art of writing something yeah. effective. You know, even an effective email or an effective paper is really important in your career. And the ability to talk one-on-one, but also talking in group settings. And
yeah.
there's no way to get better at it besides practice, making mistakes and learning from them. And
they have to, yeah, they have to practice and they have to fail. And, you know, you could have built that high mileage car yourself, but if you couldn't talk in a job interview, you're not going to get the job.
Well, we couldn't have built the car by myself.
Well,
either.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm but I'm saying, you got to be able to have the ability to communicate. You can get an $80,000 education after 4 years and you go to that first job interview and you don't know how to talk.
Yeah.
Forget it. So that's how important it is. At least in my opinion, that's a really important class to take. And don't be afraid to talk.
Bart Johnson, Provost from Itasca Community College. We've been talking education today, and we hope to do more in the future.
Yeah. Well, all thanks right. for having me this morning.
Thanks, Bart. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show. Coming up, we've got Judy Gruey. She's bringing us music on the river. We'd like to thank Itasca Community.